Michigan HockeyCast 3.19. Did you know we have recorded as many episodes this season as we have the last three seasons combined? Alex, did you see the new Satan shoe by Nike?
Yes.
You did? What does it look like?
Black.
And red. With a supposed human blood
I'm
in
not,
it.
I'm not big into I'm not shoes.
I'm not surprised that you've seen it, because you probably designed it. Because you might be the most evil person that I've ever met. What did the Buffalo Sabres ever do to you? Why do you hate the Buffalo Sabres?
I don't hate the Sabres.
You do hate the Sabres, and I actually have proof you hate the Sabres. The Sabres have lost 18 games in a row. Including last night, is that correct?
Yes.
17, 18 games in a row. And they were up 3-0. And I said to you, the Sabres are up 3-0. Tonight might be the night. And you responded with, even more delicious when they blow it.
I mean, it
Can
is...
Can you defend your comments as to, like, why you hate the Sabres?
I mean, it's just... It's an enjoyable streak to watch, just because you like to see records get set. And so...
Don't you feel...
Why not?
But, like, Buffalo's been through a lot.
I like the Sabres. I cheered for them the last time they were in the playoffs. I want them to make the playoffs again, but it's not happening this year, so might as well set some records while we're at it.
So just go down as fast as you can? You totally jinxed them, because when we talked about that, it was 3-0 in the third period, and they give up 3 goals, and they lose. Did they lose in overtime?
Yeah, 4-3.
It was overtime. So are you now the great and powerful Al? I feel like that's what I called you. And then you were the one that told me about it. And I was like, we need to put you in a shed. That was just cruel. No?
I had nothing to do with it.
You did also say that our hockey cast, moving on, but you did also say that our hockey cast, we should be like Kenny and Charles and just arguing back and forth about the points that were made.
Charles Barkley is electric.
He's great.
Absolutely great TV.
He has been, I remember discovering him back in, it was probably like the Nash days in Phoenix.
Discovering
of like 05
him? Or 06. Did you not see him in the 90s?
No, but like as a TV
Who
person.
Who's this Charles Barkley guy?
Wasn't he on the Dream Team?
Pulls up his wiki page to see who he is.
Was there a wiki in 05?
I don't know.
Were you were around in 05. Anyway. But I just thought he was hilarious, and he's part of the reason that I got into the NBA for about 12 years or so at that particular time, because watching him on TNT with Kenny Smith was great. So you were correct. Do you like Kenny Smith?
I don't watch NBA on TNT enough.
Man, you're like tanking all of my intros here. I have this like list of them, and like we're just going through them now. So is the Kenny and Chuck thing out the window now?
No. I mean, it was still very enjoyable to watch on... Sunday or whatever day that was, and they were just
He's
going
great.
At it.
Didn't he have like the hat, the Alabama hat on or something the other day where he's like just all in on Alabama as an Auburn fan? Is he just a troll?
Perhaps.
I feel like he can be sometimes. And then you said that we should break out the flamethrower because of what we're about to talk about next. So is this going to be the episode where we just set the entire college hockey arena on fire?
Yep.
Yep. I have always wanted to use a thermal lance. Do you know anything about thermal lances?
No.
What about a water saw?
I don't go to Renaissance festivals.
No, a thermal... That would be awesome if they used... I would probably go to Renaissance festivals if you actually used a thermal lance in jousting. That would be kind of funny.
All right. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament.
You fast forward through all of the intros. Okay, that's fine. I don't know if I have anything positive to say.
Well, the two things we were preparing for last weekend, neither happened. We talked about either breaking down the loss, or previewing the Frozen Four.
Or getting excited about that. There was no NCAA tournament for Michigan. Did you see that coming? Like, did that even enter your mind as, oh, we might not even, like, pass a COVID test? Like, when I got the news...
So, here's the thing. I This is something we were talking about the other day, okay. Because they were talking about on the basketball broadcast how they're trying to make the experience fun for the players. They took the players to the zoo or whatever.
Which sounds awesome.
I don't know. I mean, okay, I'm not super concerned about catching COVID in day-to-day activities, but if I do, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not being, like, tested every day to see if I can do my job. If I was... If I were Juwan Howard with the players or Mel Pearson with the players, I would literally lock them in a room.
Like, you need to be in your shed. Oh, we've come
like,
full
if
circle.
If I'm Juwan, if they win tonight against UCLA, which you will know the result of by the time you listen to this.
Hopefully.
And I'm Juwan, and we're playing in the Final Four on Saturday, and there's 4 days. You are not leaving your hotel room. We're getting room service. Room service delivered to your door. Like, I would just be, like... You took the players to the zoo with, like, children and other, like, there's so many ways you could pick it up. And
but
you've
you're
got
outside.
You've got a group of 20 or 30 guys and one could touch the, like, I don't know. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me that they went this whole year without, you know, really many positive tests.
So did it catch you off guard? Like, were you like, oh, I totally forgot that could have happened?
No, I mean, it was always pretty cognizant because Notre Dame had pulled out the day before and Clarkson had been shut down, like, two weeks
earlier. But
Michigan's
been so, like, clean with all that stuff. Like,
yeah,
not
but they
just,
don't walk around
hockey,
in a hazmat
though.
Suit.
But not just hockey. Like, the whole athletic department. I mean, wasn't, like, the positive test rate in the entire athletic department, like, obscenely low?
Probably.
It was, like, 9 people or 23 people.
But, again,
out of all
they don't
the
walk around in a hazmat suit or a beekeeper suit or whatever.
Ooh, a beekeeper suit.
And, like, they are still at risk. And they got on a plane. They flew to, you know, North Dakota.
Which brings up our first point.
They were staying in a hotel. Like, I mean, you know... You know, Jack Becker could have walked out of his hotel room to pick up the newspaper outside the room door and, you know, some other person in the hotel walks by and coughs on him. Like, it's just, there's so many ways you can pick it up.
Do you think Jack Becker reads the newspaper? I know you do.
I don't know.
That's why you brought it up, right?
No, I just brought it up as a reason to leave the hotel room.
Maybe he wanted ice. Okay. So the first thing that you brought this up, and this is a good transition. You said they get on a plane, they fly to North Dakota. All right. So the first thing that happens with basketball, right, is they go into a bubble, and it starts pretty much as soon as the Big Ten tournament ends.
Yeah. Well, like, apparently it's not a bubble because they're going to the zoo. But
well, why could hockey not do that? Like, that seems like, again, okay, I'm not super concerned about catching COVID personally either, but... Like, at the same time, if these are the protocols, and if you do get it, you can't play, and your team can't play, and then you have to go home, and everything you've worked for since probably, oh, I don't know, last April is down the drain. And why can't you just take the necessary precautions and at least put people in a position to succeed? That seems really easy. Especially given the next point, which is rando tournament sites that no one's going to anyway, which maybe that's why they're doing this, is they're trying to limit fans.
This is what we talked about. I mean, Brian's talked about the regional sites for years.
Yeah.
And it does boggle the mind, especially when you consider that at two of the locations, the ice quality was bad.
Oh my gosh. You're just going right through the bullet points.
I mean, those are tied together. Okay, if you're going to send people to Saskatoon or wherever they're going for the regional, you hope that the venue, you know, if you're going to go off the road, right, you're taking a major detour, you're leaving the highway, you're driving through town,
yeah,
and then you come to this totally off the beaten path location,
yeah,
that better be a pretty nice arena. Right? Like,
I mean, the arena is probably fine.
You know, you go to Frankenmuth to go to the big Christmas store, not to a store you can find in your town.
Not to, like,
right?
Walmart.
Go up to there for... You can find bad ice conditions at many places, and yet they have to go to Bridgeport in Albany to, you know, play at a place where the ice quality was the same as the outdoor game in Lake Tahoe. I mean, the players are falling down. Like,
at least Lake Tahoe had the sun.
I watched the Wisconsin game. And the players were falling down all the time. I mean, just, like, frequently. And they talk nonstop about how, like, I guess the writers in there, it was like were sweating. And, like, the computer,
just, like, foggy.
The keyboard had perspiration on it. And they show the referees, and it's just slush. And you're just like, what are you doing?
This isn't hockey. Wasn't there a Stanley Cup game between like the Sabres and Flyers that happened where like it was so late in the year and the
that was a fog game, right?
It was the fog, yeah. Where like it just everything was there was like a cloud inside the arena.
It's just everything with the tournament is incomprehensible, and this weekend was the peak because you have two teams that don't play, which right then and there eliminates. You only have eight first-round games, and boom, a quarter of them are gone before they begin. And then the ones that do play, you know, you're playing on a slip and slide. And
that's like five games.
So in total, like the Loveland games that happened, the Minnesota regional was like the only normal regional. All the other ones either had one team gone or bad ice or both. And it's just...
I mean, is this sabotage? Like, are they purposefully doing this to ruin something? Maybe. I mean, it just seems like, okay, so our buddy Craig picks NFL games, and like he has like two teams, and one of them he tries to pick all the games wrong. But that's like just as hard as trying to pick all the games right. Like, you have to have some sort of skill there. And this just seems like every decision that is made is the wrong decision. Like, if you could come up with all of these decisions, couldn't you just reverse all of them and, like, you would actually have a good product?
I will say whoever is with the NCAA Hockey Division and would like to come and explain their choices, they're welcome to come on this show and debate us.
We will debate them. Yes. I refuse to listen to coach speak, though, so they better bring some real answers.
It's just, again, as we've said, I think, before, the NCAA hockey tournament is the thought experiment, and the thought is, how do we make this bad?
How do we drive everyone away? And this is the next thing. Do you know where the Midwest Regional was?
It was in Fargo, right?
It was. Yeah. So Michigan actually qualified.
Which, according to some people, is the Midwest. I think there's a distinction between the Plains and the Midwest, but...
I mean, I don't have a problem with Fargo getting a regional if, like, it's the West. Because in college hockey settings, it's the West. It's not the Midwest.
Yeah.
There are, like, 10 teams that are east of Chicago. Maybe 12, I guess, if you count the Alaskas and Arizona State now.
You mean west of Chicago?
Yeah. So, having the Midwest regional also out there essentially cuts out anyone, because the East and the Northeast are like always in the same place, right? Like, they're always like half an hour apart somewhere in Vermont or Rhode Island or something. And then you have this huge gap of space between Eastern New York and apparently North Dakota now, where there are no regionals.
So
it just is
baffling.
The hockey
tournament is basically them saying, hey, the basketball tournament is cool. How about if we do that, but it's hockey? Which ignores both the realities of how hockey works compared to basketball and the realities of how college hockey works, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, yes, Michigan State or whoever often gets sent to Spokane to play their first basketball games in the tournament, but people still attend the games because it's a bigger sport, has more recognition, has more interest. Like, you're trying to jam a round peg in a square hole, and that's their biggest problem. Is that they're trying to do all the things basketball does without realizing that it doesn't work that way. And they've been trying this for a long time. And it's very frustrating. Not to mention the fact that, in part, the fans in Bridgeport or wherever don't show up, you know, in non-COVID times is because you put the games on ESPN 73.
Oh, man.
And...
Yeah, our buddy Peter is like talking to us about this, and he's like, I didn't even know ESPN News was still a channel. He's like, do I get this? I don't think I get this.
Does ESPN Classic still exist? Because I don't think they put a game on there.
They might have canned that
one. But they
one.
Used you, and they used News, they used ESPN
News
3.
News is always the channel that gets the game when they schedule them too close together.
Yeah.
And so one bleeds into the other one, and you're like, well, this is going to be an ESPN News. And then you have to race to find it. And then it's like the standard def version of the
it's
channel.
It's the true TV of,
of the ESPN channel.
Yeah.
And they played them simultaneously. Like, our other buddy, Tony Tribbiani, was talking to us about how there was, like, breaks in the periods that aligned. So
it's like with NHL schedules, all the games at 7 p.m. for some reason.
Right, instead of 7:15 or whatever, and you're trying to flip between them. So like, oh, sweet, this game is an intermission. I'll flip over to the other one, which also went to intermission. Also, there's only two games, so you don't even need to like play any of them simultaneously. Why are you like trying? You're just ruining audiences across the board.
It is extremely frustrating. And then, you know, you get into the facts that how this works is that you almost guarantee that none of the good teams are ever really there together. Maybe you're lucky if you get one of them, but you'll probably end up with random teams. And so here you are. You've got the Frozen Four, which is your opportunity to put the game on a pedestal.
Which is popular.
Yes. And you don't have any of the NHL talent from Michigan. Don't have any NHL talent from North Dakota. Don't have any of the NHL talent from Wisconsin. Don't have any of the NHL talent from Minnesota. Don't have any of the NHL talent from Boston College.
Which is like almost all the talent.
Don't have any of the NHL talent from Boston U. I mean, UMass has a couple dudes, but you got Minnesota State there who, you know, they don't really have any players. And what are the other teams?
St.
Cloud. I mean, they're a decent program, but again, not really a powerhouse in terms of the NHL products. And then
So basically what Alex is saying is no one seeds make the Frozen Four, which is like look at the basketball tournament, which is can be random at times, obviously. But there's gonna be a one seed and a two seed have qualified so far.
Pretty much always.
And you have Gonzaga, who's probably a favorite tonight. Michigan's a favorite. And if they both win, you're gonna have three ones and Houston, which was one of the higher twos. So there were upsets in the tournament. You had some fun Cinderella runs, but now if you're going to want
to... That's how the basketball tournament always works. What's right. great about it is that it mixes both randomness with...
Chalk.
Yeah. You know, the NBA playoffs has gotten to a point where it's just all chalk
it's just
all the
chalk.
Time. Like, you look at that first round series, you know, 37 and 45 team against 63 and 19. That team has no chance.
No one has
no chance.
There is no uncertainty of outcome whatsoever.
But and you know, you look at half the teams in the East and the West in the NBA, and you're like, those teams can't make the NBA finals.
Yeah,
there's no chance.
No.
So you know, the basketball tournament does well in eliminating that, but they also ensure that, except for the 2014 tournament, the team that wins is always one of the three or four best teams. Pretty much always.
Yeah, or
it's not
high,
always
yeah.
the number one seed. It's a team that's very good.
But it's a protected seed.
I think it's like, what, a team in the top six or seven of KenPom has always won, pretty much, something
okay.
like that. Like,
I mean, that makes sense.
You don't get the best team necessarily that wins, and that's fine. But you get a team that is one of the best, and that's what's great. With this is just all randomness. This is literally just the octopus that we talked about a few weeks back, picking the games. Like, it's just random, right? Like,
but ESPN doesn't touch college hockey not Buchagross, because Buchagross is involved, and you know they probably show some like highlights or something. But
well,
they don't.
ESPN
U
does a few games.
Okay, how many?
They did one of
10?
Michigan's. Remember?
Have they? Do they do 10 in a year? I bet they don't do 10.
I think they do more than that. I
okay.
don't know. We'll
so
see.
They don't really cover the sport itself. I mean,
yeah.
they get all the games in the tournament, and they play it up like this big thing, and then they scream about these upsets, and they're like, oh, another Giants going home or something, and you're just like, okay, have you not watched the tournament since, like, 2004? This is what happens.
Generally speaking, when your tournament is all chalk, that's bad. When your tournament is all upsets, that's bad. Like, something's going wrong if all of the good teams are not, you know, and again, this isn't to slander the teams that made it through. They did fine. But, you know, you think about this in the NHL's term. Think about how many teams that have won the Stanley Cup that were great, great teams would not have won the Stanley Cup under this system. In the 2002 Detroit Red Wings lost the first game of the first round to the Canucks. Boom, they're gone. Goodbye. 111 points, 10 Hall of Famers. You know, you're done. You lost the first game of the first round. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just,
yeah.
It's truly ridiculous. The Stanley Cup Finals does a pretty good job of awarding one of the best teams every year. And even then, you know, you got to try a bunch of times to really win the cup, right?
Like, yeah.
You have to have a lot of chances. And, you know,
part
one
of it
year
is hockey.
Yeah, hockey's random. But
yeah.
At least in the Stanley Cup, you know, you may not win it the first time, but if you put a good team out there year after year, you'll probably win it eventually.
Yeah.
With this, it's just... Build a good team year after year, maybe you'll win.
But
maybe
there's
you won't.
One team, like, who is immune to this.
And
100% immune.
Yep.
And it is the team that did not think that they could beat Michigan this year, who they drew in the first round.
But they won.
So their coach put false positive tests in just to ensure that they could get to the round of eight. That's
Michigan my theory. Would have won.
That's what I'm going with. Michigan was favored, and they don't even have to play. Do you know why he did this? Because he knew he was going to have to go to eight overtimes to beat North Dakota, and he couldn't afford to play the day before. So
Minnesota Duluth
is
defeats North Dakota in the game of the year.
It's not the game of the year.
I mean, what's a better game?
I was never intrigued to turn it on.
You didn't even watch.
No, I didn't care. Why would you care?
I watched the ending.
I know,
the last
but
two
you're
periods.
Kind of a masochist. You're a Lions fan.
It's enjoyable. I mean, it was
beer
it was fun to watch. I mean,
enjoyable.
The players could not skate. There were no shots. In 10 whole minute stretches, where the players just skate in and then just
even the Islanders
fall
are
over.
More exciting than that.
And it's just
one of these teams is going home on the dumbest thing in the world.
And, you know, you look at North Dakota again, and this is what we talked about a few weeks ago, where I am almost glad that Michigan didn't have a flawless season like North Dakota.
Because they're just set up for failure.
Because it's like, okay, you had a 20-3 regular season, you're a juggernaut, and now you lose in one game on five overtimes where the players are dead, and that's the way it goes.
That would be, if North Dakota just said, got their one seed, showed up to the game. Okay, maybe they play AIC because, you know, that game was over in 3 minutes. But then they're like, oh, nope, a real team. We're going home. You go for it. Have your little trophy. Hang your banner, blah, 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 whatever. This is all a joke anyway. We won. We kicked your butt in the regular season. We've won like 80 or 90% of our games. We're good.
So Minnesota Duluth still has never lost their first game in the tournament.
Now, understandably,
yeah,
I think, right?
Now 10-0.
Which is, I mean, they're 9-1
four,
in overtime.
Yeah.
No. They're 9-1 in one goal games.
Yeah.
In the last 4 years.
Four straight Frozen Fours.
And what was the other stat? Oh, 7 overtime wins in a row in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's some voodoo stuff. Like, what's the point of this? So you have everyone succumbs to randomness except one team that only wins.
It's like if you work.
Come watch us.
It's kind of
like big ratings.
It's kind of like if you work your whole life, 40 years for a company, and then you find out if you get a pension based on a coin flip on your last day at the job. That's it. You play the whole season, and then you find out if you get the good stuff on a coin flip.
That's really good. It's like at life, right? The game life when you at the end you either retire or you can put it all on the stock market spin of your wheel or whatever.
So, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate Michigan didn't get to play, but there's also a chance that if they did get to play, we would be more angry than we are currently because we may be the team losing in five overtimes.
Yeah, we talked about that. Is it better to get blown out in a game or to lose or to lose to COVID or whatever? I mean, like, I don't know. I want to watch Michigan tournament because if they win, there's kind of in some ways nothing like it. But if they're not in it, the tournament is so dumb in college hockey is. The way that it's just presented is so poor that it makes it very hard for me to, get interested if I don't have, an emotional connection.
You know, and the other thing is that the analog to the NCAA is the CHL. And the CHL, I mean, they've got the WHL playoffs, for example, are full seven-game series, four rounds, like the Stanley Cup final. Like, they don't do this. The other leagues that are competing for junior talent don't do this. The NCAA does this because, again, they saw the basketball tournament and thought they could pull it off.
I mean, they don't even do it in baseball.
No,
they do double elimination.
Softball. Double elimination still wouldn't be great, but it would be better.
Yeah.
And baseball, softball also do home venues, too, which also would be better.
Every year I write the same article about how, hey, why don't we just, put all the games on through one weekend, best of three series. You can have, a crazy sort of If you like, ESPN would be the perfect host for this because you could have one of those like Octoboxes that you could put on and sort of watch all the games that then you could overlap games because you could watch Friday night maybe and then have like Space Mount on Saturday and then have like the rubber matches Sunday. And I mean, you could even do that for the first two rounds and then you can have your Frozen Four single elimination. I don't care about that because that's a fun event that you have people going to. And if you have 4-1 seeds or if 3-1s and a 2 in a semifinal single elimination, you can live with that.
Yeah.
But when it's like AIC battling RIT for the national title, you're like, okay, well, I guess you get to hang a banner. Good for you. Hope we win the lottery and grab bag next year.
Yeah.
I mean, good players.
I mean, it is very akin to the NHL draft lottery or the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah.
One team is the Oilers winning the number one pick over and over again, and that team is Minnesota Duluth.
So before we move on to the, I guess, Michigan-esque section of this podcast, which is the next segment, we can talk about a few college hockey updates and maybe get a little into the NHL. We have a little bit of time, it looks like. So the first thing is Jack Becker is in the transfer portal.
Everyone's in the transfer portal from every sport. I saw multiple players from Bowling Green who are very good are all in the transfer portal. And
okay, but for Michigan purposes...
Yeah,
he's
Dylan St. Cyr is in the transfer portal as a grad transfer, like Becker.
That's what Michigan needs is a third goalie.
I think that this will be pretty common.
Yeah, but he was probably not coming back anyway, is my guess. Like, he was a senior, and...
He's a good guy, he's been around.
He's the captain.
Yeah.
But he also was a healthy scratch for...
Some games.
Enough games.
Yeah. That's not a major loss.
No.
He's a nice guy, probably lost in the locker room, but...
Nothing else has come out yet about specific Michigan players.
We're now officially on Strauss watch.
Do you think he's the likeliest?
What we know, and this is from an EP Ringside article
okay. That
you have to subscribe to get to read.
Which you do.
We can give you just the intel,
okay. Which
is that there are multiple NHL teams that are going to be making a run at him. So if he wants to leave now, he will have the opportunity to. It's just a matter if he does.
Yeah, but we don't have any insight into that.
Yeah.
So
we don't know him, so.
That sucks. He's probably a cool guy.
We can't call him up and ask him, but we'll see.
Players who have signed that are relevant.
I will say that the existence of Eric Portillo, I think, doesn't portend greatly.
Meaning?
I think there is a not insignificant chance that Mel Pearson told Eric Portillo,
you're playing
next year because Strauss is leaving.
Ah.
Remember back at the start of the year when we were wondering why Eric Portillo ended up on campus and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah, it's because he knew he was going to play in a year?
Yeah. That's a guess. We'll see.
Yeah.
But maybe this COVID debacle makes Strauss come back with a vengeance. Just wants the chance
on a coin flip. I mean, Adam wrote a really great article on him, I think it was a year ago now, where he talks about, you know, he grew up a Michigan fan and wanted to come and win titles. It wasn't like, oh, I need a place to play some college hockey till I, like, move on to the next level.
Well, he was an NHL Michigan prospect, too, and now he is, so...
But, you know, everyone, I think, assumes that about human beings that they are robots in the sense that, oh, I can do better, oh, I can make money, oh, I can do this, I will do it 100% of the time. But there are other things that people care about in life. And, you know, there's that great scene in Miracle where the guy from Boston is talking to the guy from Minnesota about the fight. He's like, why'd you play college hockey? And he's like, oh, like anyone else, I want to play in the NHL. And I think it was O'Callaghan that was like, I play college hockey because I want to win a national title. And it was like, you know, there are those people.
Yeah.
And you don't know when you find them. And sometimes, hopefully, they're on your team.
Yeah. We're also on all of the other player watch.
Every other. Portillo,
Brisson, York watch. Jacob Truscott watch? I'm just listing which drafted guys are on the roster.
Who? Yeah.
And then, really, the rest of the watch won't begin until August, because the NHL draft is at the end of July.
Right. So Michigan's probably...
But I think Bortolo and Brisson watch is very important. York watch probably will be very anticlimactic, because the assumption is that he's leaving.
He's probably going to go Beecher?
Yeah. Oh, we could be on Beecher watch.
He's also still hurt, so he's probably not playing this year.
No, but there will be conversations. That'll be an interesting one.
All right. We know that Cole Caulfield has signed, as all of you who are listening are extremely surprised.
Alex Steeves has signed.
That was more surprising.
I mean, he had a good season.
Yeah. He was drafted, I presume.
I don't know. I can look.
Okay. And...
we're on Dylan Holloway watch as well.
I mean, he's going to go,
right? He had an injury, but it's...
But, I mean, he's a first-round pick. He's played 2 years. He was good for Wisconsin, and he realized that he won't win a title because of Plinko.
Steve's appears to be a UDFA.
Well, good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know Notre Dame has a...
Tommy Napier's gone. I don't know if we mentioned that in previous episodes.
Yeah.
So, the Big Ten losing some of its talent.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get a lot. I mean, next year.
And I believe I saw that Brandon McManus is in the transfer portal from Minnesota.
Really? He's probably frustrated by Plinko, too. Anyway, that's probably the Michigan hockey news, since almost nothing has changed since our last podcast in terms of playing games or a lot of other decisions.
Yeah, Brandon McManus and Colin Munson are both in the transfer portal for Minnesota.
For Minnesota. But see, the thing about Michigan is, like, they have guys coming in next year that are highly touted. So, and they don't have a... we don't know. These guys could sign. But it doesn't appear from the eye test that they're going to lose, like, half their roster.
Probably not.
So if they bring in a handful, 5 or 6 guys, they're probably not losing a lot more than that. So they could be active for, like, a piece, right? In the transfer portal, but I'm not guessing that this is going to be like a reload. Would you?
Probably not.
Would you? That makes sense.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Do you want to touch on anything NHL before we move on, or is that
that Patrick Laine trade is working out great for the Blue Jackets?
Is it?
No, that was sarcasm.
Ah,
he has not been playing terribly well, and the Blue Jackets are kind of sputtering.
What about Pierre-Luc Dubois going to the Jets? I mean, the Jets have been winning.
I'm interested to see who wins the Matthias Ekholm sweepstakes, / if there is a Matthias Ekholm sweepstakes. I think there should be, but the Predators are now back in the hunt for the last spot in the Central Division.
To upset the Lightning in the first round.
To play the Lightning in the first. I mean, that feels a lot like when the Pistons made a push to be the 8th seed to lose to the Bucks in 4 games, right? It's just like... I guess if you want to make the playoffs, that's fine, but do not do any, like, if you have an opportunity to
mortgage the future.
Yeah. And I think that this is the Predators are in a tough spot. They don't have a ton of prospects. They don't have a lot of younger guys. You know, it's kind of, you know, getting late in terms of that core, and you're starting to face that realization that the window may have passed, and it's a matter of whether they're in denial or not.
I think that's...
But if they aren't, Ekholm will be very interesting, because the Bruins could go after him. The Jets could go after him.
The Bruins need to score goals. The Bruins don't score goals.
Well, they also have a shaky defense beyond McAvoy, so...
They shouldn't have let Torrey Krug walk.
Maybe. Maybe they shouldn't let Chara
go. Are the Bruins good?
I don't know. They're a good team, yeah. I mean, I think they're underachieving. That's what I would say, but...
So they don't need something. They just need to actually, like, hit their potential.
But maybe they aren't underachieving because they lost those pieces on defense. I don't know. They went from President's Trophy team to just a good team this year, which is
the Caps are playing well.
Caps
don't really lose.
But they don't... Their goal differential and their other stats don't really match, you know,
so they're
how
getting,
much they're winning.
Getting some bounces?
Perhaps.
Is that what Jay Fresh says?
No, I'm just saying that's... I mean, their goal differential right now is plus 20. The Islanders and Pittsburgh's are actually higher than that.
Yeah.
And they are quite a bit behind in terms of points percentage.
The Islanders have had an interesting year. They can't lose to the Bruins, but they can't beat the Penguins.
Which they would be scheduled to play the Penguins right now if the playoffs started today.
That's unfortunate.
Hey, the Wild are good. That's what I care about.
The Wild are good. They just can't beat the Avs.
Yeah. Which, again, that would be the first-round playoff series.
I would take that as an Avs fan.
I mean, the tough thing is that the Wild are at plus 15 in goal differential. The two teams above them are plus 33 and plus 41.
Colorado is playing at another level right now. I mean,
Colorado and Vegas would be must-watch every night.
In a
7-game series.
I mean, that would be probably one of the best series that you could find that didn't involve, like, one of those teams playing the Lightning.
I'm also all in on the Marc-Andre Fleury revenge tour. I wanted to see him win the Vezina.
He might. Because their defense isn't great. So he's going to have chances to...
Their defense is good offensively, but...
Yeah.
Only... I mean, he's been really good.
You can get shots on Fleury. Like, that's the thing with the Avs is, like, Grubauer has to make, like, 12 saves a game.
If Fleury wins the Vezina this year, he becomes a Hall of Famer. If he doesn't win it, he may not get in, which is a very interesting thing.
He has three cups.
But he wasn't the starter for two of them.
That's.
But he's also got a gazillion wins, which wins is mostly irrelevant to goalies. But
yeah.
It would be very hard if he is somehow like the second winningest goalie of all time and he's not in the whole. I mean, it would be very interesting.
But
if he can get that one Vezina, then I think it locks him in.
How about your Sens? Are they making a push for that four spot?
No.
That's pretty blunt.
I am.
What about your other Canadian teams, since you like all the Canadian teams?
I am a big fan of those matchups right now. Toronto against Montreal and Winnipeg versus Edmonton. That'd be a lot of fun. And if you could get a Edmonton-Toronto.
Yeah, but that would require
Toronto
winning a playoff series, which kind of goes against everybody.
It would lose our chance to troll Leafs fans slightly, but it would also give us a matchup with, like, four of the league's eight most talented offensive players in one series. That would be fun. So, I don't know. These playoff matchups are kind of fun. Sorry for the Panthers about the Ekblad thing. That's very sad.
Yeah, did you see that injury?
Yeah, not great.
I started to watch it, and then I saw what was going to happen, and I looked away, because I was like, do you remember the Willis McGahee knee thing with Miami?
No.
You were young for that. That was.
I remember Kevin Ware.
I watched that one, and I was like, I think that's the last time I watch one of these. Like, I'm just, if someone's going to tell, or like the Dak Prescott one, like, yeah, I think I'm out on that. I think this segment has run a little bit long, but we needed to get some NHL stuff in. We'll do more of that in the future. We will come back and talk about some other Michigan sports that are heating up as the snow melts.
If you find yourself in the penalty box in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man arguing your case. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
Degrees out today.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung.
Do you have any Easter plans?
Maybe they involve Indianapolis. We'll see what happens tonight. Or maybe Saturday.
Do you like chocolate bunnies?
I mean, I like chocolate. I'm not really into like that side of Easter.
I never had the I don't know, either the obsessive sweet tooth or the diligence to ever finish the chocolate bunny. That's a lot of chocolate.
The diligence? Well, how big is this chocolate bunny?
I mean, like the, you know, the one.
Oh,
about,
that big with your hands.
Like the ones
like
that
the
come in the Easter
see.
Basket, you know.
It's like 6 inches tall?
Yeah, like those. You get like the big chocolate bunny, either the hollow or the solid ones. But like that's a lot of chocolate to eat in one sitting. So you have to do that over several days, and I would just forget about it.
I mean, what kind of kid were you? Were you always 80 years old?
Well,
like kids.
I don't have a massive sweet tooth.
Well, that's probably.
I love ice cream. That's okay. My one thing.
Chocolate ice cream.
I actually got double fudge brownie with chocolate ice cream in the
Whoa, that's like a deviation for you, isn't it?
I wanted to spice it up. I mean, it's a variation.
Spice it up with sweets.
It's a variation of chocolate, but
going back to spring sprunging, Michigan baseball has been playing some games. We may have touched on them a little bit earlier, but they've played about 15 games. Actually, 15 games. Well, we did talk about last week because you had the call of your
yeah.
life. That was impressive. Michigan is 11-4, and are collectively half a game out of first place behind Indiana, who's 11-3. I don't know why maybe they got a game rained out or something. But there seem to be right now three pretty good teams in the Big Ten. Indiana, Michigan, and Nebraska are all within half a game of each other, and that's not too different than the last couple of years, I don't think.
No, that was kind of the case a few years ago.
And then there's a handful of teams, six or seven teams, that are about 500. Northwestern, Rutgers, Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan State are all within a game or two of being 500. And then you get down to sort of the bottom tier of Maryland, Penn State, Purdue, and Minnesota, who are multiple games under 500. Michigan has started the season playing Iowa, who's was supposed to be good, but has turned out to be kind of meh, and I think they went 3-1 against them. They swept Purdue, who's not very good.
Yep.
And they, I guess they got four wins there. They split 1-1 with Illinois. They split 1-1 with Michigan State, and then they took 2 of 3 this weekend versus Penn State.
Yeah, who isn't very good.
Who isn't very good. And they the game they lost was extra innings, I think.
Yeah.
It was like 4-3 or 3-2.
Yeah, they had a little bit there where they were really struggling to hit with the, you know, the two MSU games. They score 8 runs total, but the 8 runs were all in one inning. Otherwise, they were shut out every other inning against Michigan State. And then they really sputtered against Penn State in the first game. But then they came back the second game with 17.
17.
And then they had another dramatic rally in the Saturday game against Penn State.
They were down like 6-1, 5-1.
They
came
were down,
back to tie it.
Yeah, 6-1. And then they scored 2 in the 9th and sent it to extras, got 2 in the 10th.
So they go to Maryland this weekend and they play Maryland and Northwestern. And yep. Maryland is kind of one of those 500 teams. Northwestern's a couple, few games over. They're 8-5. Probably okay, or maybe it's just friendly schedule. So how is this team? Like, we can kind of break it down. Obviously, they've lost most everyone of consequence from the 2019 national championship run. And then last year, they lost most of those juniors that were sophomores during that run.
Yeah.
So their starting pitching is, they have one pretty good pitcher who's had a couple bobbles, Steven
Hadjer. Yeah. I mean, he's had a good year overall. A 2.66 ERA, 1.06 whip. That's exactly what scouts are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
More than, you know, 9 Ks per 9 innings. So he's right on the track.
Number two is Cameron Weston. He usually pitches the second game of a series.
He's been pretty solid. I've been fine with what I've seen from him.
Similar numbers, has more wins, probably because he's facing other number twos that Michigan is beating up.
Yeah.
Potentially. Their third, I guess, is
it's Denner.
Jacob Denner. You think he's...
I mean, he was the one that started in the Michigan State game that I did last weekend.
Yeah.
And I think that Denner's got some stuff there. He has trouble at times getting through certain innings in that game, he had just periods of the game where he was cruising, and then he'd run into an inning where he'd really just kind of stuff would come loose. But they have a pretty high feeling about him, and that he'll round into shape. And I mean, overall, you look at the ERAs right now, those are all fine for your Friday, Saturday, Sunday starters.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're playing Big Ten, so perhaps you'd want him lower when you extrapolate out to national competition. But it's also early in the year, and Weston and Denner have never been, you know, regular starters before, so...
And Blake Beers is their fourth, or was. I mean, I guess every start is an audition now, it seems like. He has not started the year particularly well.
Blake Beers has always been a bit of an up-and-down thing throughout his Michigan career. Always pretty wild. I mean, you've got the 14 walks and 14 and two-thirds innings, which has kind of been the story throughout his Michigan career. And... you know, he is the midweek starter, except there are no midweek games, which means he starts on Monday. But, you know, anyone who watched baseball in the past, which is very few Michigan fans, you know, the midweek game is the one where your starter only goes 3 or 4 innings. There's, you know, 8 pitching changes. I mean, those games always took forever.
Yeah. Starts at 4, ends at 8:30.
Yeah. So Beers, I mean, that's a 6.75 ERA is not what you want from any starter,
no.
But for the midweek, it is what it is. I mean, the big question is where does Dragani end the season? I mean, they've been trying. I mean, he's now well over 2 years removed from the Tommy John surgery, which I think was in the fall of 2018. But, you know, they're in the process of building him up. He's been going 3 or 4 inning spurts. And you want to use him as a starter? Do you want to use him as a super sub out of the bullpen? That kind of depends on what they want.
Well, and it kind of depends on how many games you're going to pitch in a series and sort of what it looks like when you get towards the end of the season, right?
I mean, he pitched against Illinois in a game I was doing and was very strong in the first 2-3 innings, looked dominant, and the wheels just fell off in the last inning he was pitching. So, but otherwise, I mean, that was the only bad inning he's pitched so far this year. He's only thrown 11 and two-thirds innings, but that was the one that wasn't the best. But overall, his numbers are pretty sterling at the moment.
And the guy who has been pitching really well has been Willie Weiss, right? He's come out of the bullpen and has done, well, I think he's had, what, five appearances so far?
I mean, the thing you like to see from Willie Weiss in that stat box is the two walks in six and a third innings. That was his kryptonite in 2019. I mean, he had a very high strikeout rate then. I mean, he was really lauded in 2019, was a freshman All-American, which I didn't understand because I hate walks. And he kind of was a walk machine that year, but he was also a strikeout machine, and he was a freshman, and you know, he had a solid freshman year, and you wanted to see growth from him. Didn't really get to have a year last year, and now you do see some signs of growth. WHIP is still a little high for my liking, but you know, he's still got the strikeout stuff, 11 Ks and six in the third inning, so it's there. It's just a matter of how do they get to him. I mean, he's the closer for the moment.
So it's not the Kauffman, Criswell, Henry rotation that we remember from a couple of years ago, but it's not too much of a drop.
I mean, we should also note that that rotation only became the 90s Atlanta Braves in the world, you know, in the College World Series in the postseason. Right?
Well,
they were very good throughout the year, but yeah. That team wasn't, you know, outrageously dominant during the season.
They were good leading up, though, in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, once they got into the Corvallis Regional, they were good. But that year was very up and down. They didn't win the Big Ten regular season title very frustrating fashion. And were potentially on the bubble going into the Big Ten tournament. And there's a lot of what-ifs if Jordan Wogu doesn't stroke the walk-off double against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, they may not have gotten in at all. So...
So weird.
You know, that was a really good rotation in the postseason and throughout the year, but it was, you know, it went to another level, and we shouldn't expect that out of this group.
On the other side of the ball, Michigan has brought in a number of transfers and has groomed a couple of players that are hitting the ball. The whole team, or I should say probably their top five or six hitters anyway, are connecting pretty well on the offensive side.
I mean, they have a team batting average 260. They've got about a homer a game, 15 homers in 15 games. You know, really concentrated between a couple guys, Griffin Mazur, Clark Elliott, and Jimmy Overtop have 12 of the team's 15 home runs. So you might want to see more diversity there, but Clark Elliott's had some really impressive games. And then, you know, the hero of the game to close out last weekend against Penn State was Jordan Rogers, who's only played in six games, only has 11 at-bats, but has been terrific in those at-bats. And there's a question of, does he get into the lineup? They're trying to get Riley Bertram going, trying to get Jake Marty going. Now those are considerations. I mean, even Ted Burton off the bench, they're looking at more from. They're still, and the one thing is they've got a lot of guys that are in the lineup, Mazur, Overtop, Flores, Semmes, Molfetta, Elliott, but the lineup is still juggling around quite a bit.
Well, and a lot of these guys weren't necessarily here last year or the year before, so yeah. They've only played 15 games, and they didn't really have, you know, a lot of warm-ups, and they don't have sort of those mid-week games that you can kind of tinker with stuff and then put your best foot forward on the weekend. So it's just kind of, you got to, like, baptism by fire, as they say. Like, you go with what you have at this time, and as things work, you can change, or don't work, I guess, you can change them and move people around, although... You know, the order's probably not at quite as big of a deal if people are hitting, though. I mean, you got to get on base, which they are doing, I think, at a pretty high rate. Of course, they haven't faced...
They have a 375 OBP is fine with me.
But they haven't faced...
It's been up and down. There's been some series that have been, you know, just all hitting, and then you have that period that I referenced where you really just couldn't hit at all except for one inning in, like, a three-game span. So that comes and goes. I mean, the thing about baseball at the end of the day is that even when we highlight, oh, this team is really bad, like Penn State, and you lose the game, you think, oh, that sucks. And I mean, it does. But, you know, in baseball, a four-game series between the worst team in the league and the best team in the league, there is no guarantee the best team in the league wins all four of those games.
No,
like,
I mean,
it's baseball.
You win three, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me was I was looking at the schedule, and two of their last three series are hosting Indiana, and then they end the season in Nebraska. And it seems
I believe they ended the season in Nebraska 2 years
ago.
They
did.
Yeah.
And the second to last or third to last series was also hosting Indiana. So
yes.
that is an interesting. Deja vu. It just seems like this will be good because they can play teams that are probably slightly more beatable and figure some of these things out, sure, like we were talking about. And then, you know, you're going to have 3 weeks where now it's time to go win the Big Ten, and they'll have one series in Ann Arbor and one, I believe, in Lincoln. Anything else you have for baseball? How's the fielding been? Have you noticed anything in that sense?
No, I haven't gotten to see enough of the games just because of, you know, basketball and hockey and everything going on right now.
Yeah,
so.
from everything I've seen, they've played pretty well across the board. There's some things that you'd probably like them to clean up, but I think that if you're interested in baseball at all or looking for something in Michigan to follow, the baseball team is probably worth your time the next couple months.
Yeah, it should be enjoyable.
What about on the smaller?
We'll try to cover that more.
Oh, yeah.
And everything.
We'll get into some of that. We may even go to some games and
perhaps
see if we can finagle some credentials as long as the hockey people aren't in charge. What about on the smaller diamond? I know this is more your forte.
Well, softball is now 13-3. They have responded really well last weekend, going back to the Midwest and taking a four-game sweep from the Hoosiers. And, you know, series with Michigan State coming up this weekend. And, you know, the beginning parts of the season were kind of up and down. They, had two very frustrating losses to Illinois and 2-1 defeats. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they drop a game to Nebraska, which was frustrating.
Who isn't very good, right?
Not particularly. But then they sweep Wisconsin, who's lost some players. But still, that was good to see. Indiana's an okay team. You go in there, you sweep them. So, you know, right now, the story of softball is really the same as it ever was pretty much since 2016, which is that you have pitching, but can you hit? And it comes and goes. There's been better signs the last couple weeks. Beginning of the season was pretty rough. I mean, the good news is that your two starters are basically unhittable in the Big Ten.
Well, Bobian's been phenomenal this year.
Starocco's been better. And
really?
That's
interesting. Wasn't she giving up home runs, though, early to start?
Starocco's given up one home run in 57 innings, and that was always her kryptonite.
No.
So if she solved the home run thing, she's a better pitcher because she strikes out at a much. I mean, right, she was Big Ten Pitcher of the Week for last week, was named today. And, I mean, you look at the numbers, 0.49 ERA, 0.58 whip, 110 strikeouts in 57 innings, which I believe is near the top in strikeouts per innings in the NCAA in total. I mean, only 10 walks in that span. I mean, she has been dominant, and Bobian's been dominant, too. Sub-1 ERA, sub-1 whip. Again, this is against the Big Ten, so these are numbers you'd like to see roughly if you extrapolate this to national. That would probably be ERAs in the 1.5 range. But that's good enough to be, you know, nationally competitive. Those two pitchers look good enough to keep this team nationally competitive. The question is whether they can get those hits. I mean, Lexi Blair is starting to look more like she's having the supernova season that we thought after her freshman year where she hit 400 at 482 on the season, I believe, has a hit in all but one game this year. The question is, where's the support? Where's the power? And that's the big question. Only 7 homers in 16 games. That's plagued Michigan in past years. Starting to pick it up a little bit, but, you know, where is the hitting going to come from? And they've got some players in the lineup that I think have promise, but he got one hitter over 310. And you'd like to have a lot more than that, especially against the Big Ten. And so it's just a matter of whether the bats wake up down the stretch.
Who are the main competition in the Big Ten this year, or who does it appear to be based on what we've seen so far?
Northwestern is leading at 15-1. They're going to be tough to catch. Michigan's going to get a chance to play them down in Ann Arbor. They were supposed to go to Evanston last year, but in Ann Arbor, 4-game set, that'll be their chance to catch Northwestern, but Northwestern is a complete team. They were almost all freshmen in 2019. Now those players are upperclassmen, so they're a really good team, well-rounded. Minnesota's still a good team. They've still got a lot of players. They're right behind Michigan. It's Northwestern, Michigan, Minnesota at the top, exactly like we thought entering the year. Illinois is hanging around there as well, in part because they got those two games against Michigan. Iowa, Nebraska, Ohio State, all. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, baseball, right? Teams at 500, then you got a lot of bad teams. MSU, Purdue, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Penn State. So it's just a matter of winning as many games as you can against the bad teams and then showing up for those series against Minnesota and Northwestern and developing bats along the way. mean, a couple years ago, they struggled in the early season to hit, and then it kind of came on later in the year. So that's what you hope this season.
All right. Well, when do they return to Ann Arbor? Are they going to be
this weekend?
This weekend?
Yep.
They're playing
Michigan State. Three games at home, then one on Sunday on the road.
Oh, that's right. They're splitting.
At the moment, no fans, which is unfortunate. That may change as the year goes along, but PTN Plus will have coverage. WCBN Sports will have audio on YouTube and audio overlaid on the video.
Are you doing any games this weekend?
No.
Oh, well.
But
maybe.
We will have people there that hopefully should be competent, but you never know.
We
like to give people chances, so sometimes if it's rough, it's someone new doing it for the first time. So
that's all right.
You have to be sympathetic.
You got to start somewhere. The last couple notes I wanted to mention were about men's and women's tennis. They have been playing very well. I think each of them lost early on in the season, but since then, they were both men's and women's have been on quite a roll. They went into this weekend, and each of them lost. I know the men lost to Illinois, who's a top 15 team, and the women went down to the seventh point at 3-3 and lost to Ohio State, who's also very good. Michigan might be a little better, but they didn't win this week. They have a couple matches. I think the men are at home this weekend, and there will be matches up in the future that we will potentially take in and address as well, but both of those teams are worth the follow as well. I think they put some live video up. I don't know how great the streams are. It's usually run by the players themselves as they walk up and turn on the cameras on the iPads, from what I remember. But they're easy to follow on sort of a game cast, and you can usually read about them on the website. So we'll get into some of that in the future as well. Next week, I think the plan is to sort of break down the Michigan hockey team from this season. We'll look at sort of position by position and different players and what they did well, where they made improvements, that sort of thing. And obviously, we'll keep you up to date as we get more news for all of the signing watches, etc. And then we will pick up on continuing on with some softball. I know you're going to be calling more games. I was going to try to get to some baseball games. We've watched a handful of each this year, maybe some tennis, and we can continue our NHL playoff debates. Anything else you want to add before we sign off for today?
If you only follow Michigan basketball, men's and women's, hockey, baseball, softball, and never watch football, your life will be much happier.
Unfortunately, that is probably correct.
Listening to Michigan HockeyCast 3.19. For Alex Train and David Nasternak, come back next week when we put away the flamethrowers and actually talk about Michigan hockey's 2020-2021 season.